Terry Tegnazian has no Polish background whatsoever, but she became interested in the Polish experience of World War II as a result of research for a book that she was working on involving Polish airmen in the Battle of Britain. She was moved by the stories of the Poles' incredible courage during World War II, an aspect of the war that she hadn't been aware of before. Terry co-founded, and I'm going to ask her to pronounce the name of her of her publishing company in just a minute, because she felt it was important that such lost stories be restored to history and to the wider world. She visited Poland several times during the writing of the book and in recent years. She founded the publishing house. Before founding the publishing house, Terry practiced law in Los Angeles for 12 years. She's a graduate of Brown University with an AB in Applied Mathematics and a graduate of Yale Law School as well. She's married and lives right here in Los Angeles, California. Terry joins me in studio today. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
Hi, Bill. I'm thrilled to be here with you. And our company is Aquila Polonica Publishing, which means Polish Eagle in Latin.
Polish Eagle in Latin. And since I failed Latin, that's why I deferred to you to pronounce that. So great. Now, let's just start out with the role that the pilots played, because interestingly enough, I first picked up on this way back in the 1960s. Anybody who's watched a World War II war movie knows the movie The Great Escape from 1963. In that movie, homage was paid to Polish airmen by the character of Charles Bronson. He was the tunneler, and he was a downed Polish airman in a British POW war camp, and that's how I first got clued into it. So the Poles were the first ally in the war to stand up against Nazi aggression. They did it twice, once in the Battle of Poland and once in the Battle of France. And there stories of Polish heroism and their contribution to the war. Why are they missing from history, Terry?
That's an excellent question, Bill. It's actually because, in a word, Stalin. This is really the tragedy of Poland's experience in World War II. Poland was the first country to stand up to Nazi Germany. It fought from the first day of the war through the end of the war in Europe. And unfortunately, it's British and American allies consigned Poland to the communist sphere of influence. Stalin knew that the Poles hated the communists as much as they hated the Nazis. And in order to control the country after the war, he used a two-pronged strategy. First, physical terror. He went after anyone that had been in the Polish resistance or in the military that he thought would be able to oppose him. Physically, arrested, torture, executions, deportations to Siberia. And then he mounted a very comprehensive propaganda campaign that involved suppression of the truth, discrediting of the Poles, actually rewriting history. And one of the big steps for me along the way to forming this publishing company was my initial trip to Poland, when I met with a guide and translator. At that time, I was planning to research for my own book, and I had written ahead and asked her told her what I was looking for. She came to the first meeting with two books she had checked out from the library. And this is a lady in her 50s, and she said to me, "I want to thank you for this assignment." She said, "I knew none of this." She said, "Growing up, I was taught it was the communist resistance that saved Poland from the Nazis, and these AK guys were clowns." Now, the AK was the Armia Krajowa, which was the Polish underground army. And I got goosebumps when she told me this, because I thought, here is a lady that doesn't know her own history because of propaganda. And so, you know, it's not just Americans that don't know. It's also some Poles didn't know.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's very interesting how Stalin suppressed a lot of things under his tyrannical regime.
Yes.
So that was amazing. Now, the pilots in your book, 303 Squadron, are absolutely legendary. What made those pilots so legendary?
Basically, it's the numbers. They were the number one squadron of fighter pilots in the RAF, among the RAF and Allied fighter pilots during the Battle of Britain. They, in the month of September, which was the most critical month of the battle, they downed 108 German planes. The next highest squadron, which was a British one, downed 48. Overall, the 303 squadron downed three times the average RAF score, with only one-third the casualties.
Amazing
it's
statistics.
Amazing.
That is incredible. Well, then it begs the question, what made these Polish pilots so good?
There's really four reasons, I would say. First was experience. Second was their training. Third was their tactics. And fourth was their determination. Their experience, as you mentioned, they had already been through two campaigns. They had opposed the Nazis, flown in combat against the Nazis in September 1939, when Germany invaded Poland, and again in the spring of 1940 during the Battle of France. Most RAF pilots had comparatively little, if any, combat experience, most British pilots. Second was their training. The 303 Squadron, these were professional military Air Force pilots. They had excellent training in Poland. They were trained differently than the RAF pilots. They were trained to use individual initiative, possibly because of the Polish personality, kind of as the maverick streak in the Polish personality. But they were trained to use their eyes constantly being looking at the sky, scanning all directions to sum up a situation and to act decisively on their own, while the RAF pilots were basically trained to act on orders. So the Poles were able to act instantly, and that made them more effective.
One of the interesting parts about this, Terry, is that the Poles came over to fly in British-made fighters, which were far superior to the Polish fighters of the time. The Polish were just one step away from biplanes at that point in their air force, and they'd jump into a Hawker Hurricane or, if they were lucky, a Spitfire, and they think they'd died and gone to heaven. I mean, it's like jumping from a go-kart to a Ferrari, isn't it?
That's totally, totally true. In fact, there's one of the pilots in the book goes in his first battle. He goes, "This Hurricane, it's a miracle, not a machine," you know, because he was so used to it. They had great results with their little, you know, planes that were technologically inferior, but they were superb pilots, and give them a good machine and they were even better than superb.
Mm-hmm. You know? All right, so they had experience, they had training. What about the tactics?
The tactics, they would wait till the final, they close very close tack, close range tactics, and they would wait till the last possible minute to fire. They, I believe, I've read somewhere that the RAF guns were triangulated? Yes, for like 400 yards, and the Poles did theirs at like 100 to 200 yards. So they were used to coming in very close. And initially the Brits thought these guys were crazy, that they were just madcap daredevils, but it turned out they were getting better results with less casualties.
We're talking to Terry Tagnasian, everybody, author of the book 303 Squadron. We're talking about this piece of forgotten history of World War II about the Polish pilots and the role that they played in the Battle of Britain. And you're talking about those tactics. It was really very much like these Polish pilots were playing chicken with the German Air Force,
exactly.
Weren't they?
Yes, that's exactly true. And in fact, one of the Polish aces, Jan Zumbach, who is mentioned in the book quite a lot, wrote his own memoirs, and he talks about in his memoirs the training that they got. And he mentions how in one of his training sessions, the instructor told him that 250 miles an hour, they're to fly at each other, directly at each other, and he's to turn away at the last possible instant. And he says, "I turned away when I could see the white of my instructor's eyes. And when they landed, the instructor said, 'You turned too soon.'" So this is the kind of training these guys got.
Intensive training, to say the least. And the fourth element that made them such wonderful pilots was their determination. And again, this is overlooked so much by not only the Western forces, but certainly Americans as well. Why were they so determined?
Because their country, they had lived through being overrun by the Germans. Their country was overtaken by the Germans. And actually, 2 weeks later, the Soviets invaded from the east. So they had actually been invaded by, they're the only ally that was invaded by two enemies, and they were really fighting to free their country, and they were fighting on foreign soil. They were saving England from invasion by Germany. At that point, most of Western and Central Europe had been taken over by the Germans. England was really the last country standing alone, and Hitler had his barges of soldiers loaded on the French coast, and he was just days away from launching the invasion, but he wouldn't do it without controlling the skies over England. So these fighter pilots, and the Poles were one unit. I mean, obviously, they didn't save the whole world by themselves, but they were a significant piece of what saved England from invasion by Germany.
Without a doubt. We're talking to Terry Tagnasian, everybody, author of the book 303 Squadron. Now, Terry, I misspoke there. You're really not the author of the book. You've just recently republished this. So tell us a little bit about the origins of the book. Who was the real author of 303 Squadron? Tell us a little bit about him and how he came to write the book.
Yes. The actual author of 303 Squadron is a man named Arkady Fiedler. He has passed away. He's been gone about 25 years. But he, in the 1940s, he was a top-selling Polish writer. When war broke out, he joined the Polish army, and as the, perhaps your listeners don't know, but as Poland fell to the Germans, excuse me, most of the Air Force and some of the Army guys were able to escape Poland through Romania and then through various ways in the Mediterranean and the Middle East get to France. They fought in France. When France fell in June of 1940, they escaped yet again to England. So Arkady Fiedler was in England, and he saw 303 was already racking up these great victories. They were being written about in the British press, and he recognized a great story and went to General Sikorsky, who was the Polish commander-in-chief, and said, you know, we need to write about our own guys. And so he spent time with the pilots and the crew at North Holt Air Force Base, which is where they were based, writing this book basically live during the Battle of Britain. He wrote it in Polish originally. It was translated to English and published in 1942. It was quite a well-known book, went through a number of printings. However, this is the first edition since 1942 that's available in English. It became a classic in Polish. It's gone through a number of Polish editions. And when we negotiated with his son for the rights to the book, his son wanted us to translate a more recent Polish edition, which we have done. We worked with a wonderful translator, Jarek Garlinski. We're very fortunate to have worked with him, added almost 200 photographs, a number of appendices, introductory material, historical overview to kind of give context to the book. So we feel like we've really created a new edition for today's reader.
Well, the book is lovely, and it's filled with all sorts of photographs, which intrigue me because I'm very intrigued by that era anyway, and the photographs really enrich the book for me. Let's take a step back. We're talking to Terry Tagnazian, everybody, who is the publisher of the book, 303 Squadron. And Terry, why is it so important that readers learn about Poland and their activities during World War II?
Well, you know, first of all, World War II is probably the most important and most transformative event of the 20th century. Poland was one of the Allies, one of the Western Allies, and it's a lost piece of the Allied part of World War II. It's actually, I think of it as a missing piece of the Western myth of World War II. Obviously, the Germans have their idea of what World War II was. The Japanese have theirs. The Russians have theirs. Everybody's got. But the Western myth, Poland was part of it. They were the fourth largest Allied military force in Europe during the war. I mean, how many people know that? I didn't know that until I got involved in this. Mm. And again, that's one of the reasons why we included a lot of extra material in the book.
Right, right. Now, I know you're an educated woman. I'm going to take you a little bit off course here because I'm going to challenge you.
Okay.
I don't think that World War II was the single biggest event of the of the 20th century, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think it was World War I, and World War I had more longer-lasting implications. World War I ended monarchies throughout Europe. World War I carved up Europe into country states that eventually became part of World War II, and part of Poland was one of those states that was carved out. And clearly, World War I led to World War II, whereas World War II has never led us to another conflict of that size and scope again. So defend that position, why World War II is so important to world history.
Well, you know, certainly I agree with you that the roots of World War II are in World War I. But when you say it didn't lead to another war, you're obviously overlooking the Cold War that went on for quite a number of years. In fact, I would say to some extent, World War II didn't really end for Poland until the fall of communism in 1989, another almost 50 years later. And of course, World War II gave birth to the atom bomb, which has hung over this world ever since. So, I think there is right on both sides.
All right. Very compelling argument. So let me ask you, what do you want readers to take away from reading the 303 Squadron?
You know, Bill, I would say the world needs heroes. And these guys, it's an inspirational story of guys that were real life heroes. They weren't Superman. They weren't fantasy figures. I mean, they had fears. They faced pain and death, which, you know, comes out. There are several chapters where, you know, the author shows the personal side, guys that faced being wounded, faced death. But I think it called to me, I think everybody has like an inner hero. And I think that's what it will call to. And it's an inspiring story that kind of helps you recognize the highest in the human spirit. People that will put their life on the line to help save others, to help save their country. And actually, it gave me a better appreciation, a more immediate, working on this book, which was quite an intense process, went on for several months, a better appreciation for our own men and women of every generation that serve in military forces to give us, you know, to make our life safe. I mean, I think we owe them a very big debt of gratitude.
Absolutely. And a big shout out to all those men and women serving at Point Magoo and also at Naval Station Ventura County as well. Now, what's next, Terry, for you and for your publishing company? Now that you've got 303 Squadron underneath your belt, which is a great book, what comes next?
We have coming up late this year a book called They Returned by Night. This is about another very unknown piece of World War II history, which is the small group of elite special forces, Polish guys that were, that had had evacuated, escaped through France to Italy, to England. They were volunteered to be trained as special forces. There was only about 360 of them. They were trained in martial arts and guerrilla warfare and sabotage, and then parachuted back into Poland to work with the underground. And that is actually one of my friends calls them Polish ninja, which we get kind of a kick out of. The word Cichociemni, which is how they're called in Poland, means the unseen and silent, or the silent and shadowy ones.
The silent and shadowy ones. Yeah. Wow, we're going to have to leave it there. Look forward to that publication. Terry, if people want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Yes, to Poland, WW2, which is the numeral 2, .com. So it's Poland for World War II, basically.
Great. Terry, it has been a delight talking to you about one of my favorite subjects. Thank you so much for coming in studio. Oh, it's been a delight. Now, folks, listen up. If you are looking ahead till tomorrow, we're going to have our special guest at 10:20. Steve Forbes, the chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, is going to be our guest. You'll want to stay tuned for that, along with Dr. John Sharp and Jim Cathcart himself. And that brings us to the end of another show, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock live till 11 o'clock here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Stay tuned tomorrow when we talk to Steve Forbes. We'll talk to you then.